Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Timmy.
We recorded quite a few in a row, so that way we could enjoy our winter break, you know, Christmas, New Year's, all that good stuff. So we're just getting back to it. How was your break?
Gosh. Oh, my friend got married over the New Year's. Like, he got married during, I don't know how to explain this. He got married over New Year's Eve, so the wedding rolled into the new year.
So, like, when are they legally married then? Like, is it based on when they said I do, based on when they signed, based on the end of the wedding day? Like, how does that work?
Well, so he got married. The ceremony was at, like, 9 o'clock. So that's when, like, the pastor did it. And I think I signed their thing around 10-ish, because I signed their thing as a witness, and it just made me realize, so, I don't know how much I want to share on this podcast, but Jimmy is not my real name. I have a longer first name, and I don't know why, like, I'm always more comfortable signing Jimmy. Like, I make my J's look really good, so signing my real, like, but I was like, this is an official document, I should sign my legal name. So I was not prepared for that, but that was fun. I've never danced so much at a wedding. I was his best man, so I felt obligated. No, I would have danced anyway, but I felt obligated to be on the dance floor the whole time to kind of like spur people on.
I mean, somebody has to break the seal, as they say. Like, there's somebody has to do things to make everybody else realize that, yeah, it's cool to do this. This isn't crazy.
I will say, though, I did take breaks. There was this older lady, I want to say mid-50s. Sorry if I offended people saying she's older. This woman in her 50s, she danced from song one to the very end. She did not stop. She was, like, chugging water on the dance floor, staying hydrated. It was, my hat's off to her.
I don't think I've ever had that kind of energy. And I'm not much of a dancer either. So, you know, credit to her for being able to do that.
Yeah, and, it was a good wedding overall. I did not drink at this wedding. I was a designated driver, so I did not partake in any of that stuff. It was, I mean, you know, it has to be done. Safety. We were way out there, so I wanted to make sure people got home safely. But they rented, like, it was a beer truck, but it was an old fire truck that this company repurposed, and it vended beer. Like, it had, like, nozzles. I don't know. Taps. Is that what's called? Beer taps?
Yeah. Yeah, beer taps.
They had beer taps on the side, and you could punch in what beer you wanted, and then I guess it would just find, like, it would connect it, and then you pull the lever down, and then it poured your beer.
Interesting. I wonder what the laws around that is, like, repurposing an old fire truck. Because I know I'm probably going to get the facts wrong, but in Austin there used to be a business. They might still exist, but there was a business called Rolling Revival, and they basically were an old ambulance. They bought either one or two, not a whole lot, like not like a whole fleet, but they bought one or two ambulances. If you are hungover or whatever, they would drive by and give you an IV drip so that you can recover. But then they had to like get a different, if I recall correctly, they had to get a different vehicle or something legally because they couldn't drive around in an ambulance.
Oh, that's very interesting. Oh, an ambulance would be like, I don't know. An ambulance would be like a cool, like, food delivery car.
Yeah. I guess, like, if you took off a lot of the markings and maybe the sirens on the top and stuff, an ambulance would look pretty much like a U-Haul or something, especially at first glance.
Yeah, I wonder what, like, because you can drive, like, a repurposed school bus.
I think you have to, like, change. It might have been that they kept some of the ambulance flare on it. I think a lot of times when you have the decommissioned thing, same thing with, like, you can get old cop cars off of auction or whatever, But I think you have to replace or remove a lot of the actual cop stuff, like the lights and sirens and stuff, if you're going to drive it around.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Now I want an ambulance. I'm sure I can't. I know I watched this old story. I forgot what state it was. But this guy, he bought an old fire station from the city. And he lives in it as his, like, residency. And now the city's coming after him, saying that he couldn't do it.
I believe that.
But he bought it for the city for that purpose. Like, they advertised it as that. But wouldn't it be interesting to live in a firehouse?
Huh.
Like, repurpose it?
I think you could do that. I know, I mean, obviously that was, like, the plot of Ghostbusters. They repurposed the firehouse. But I know in, like, some cities, I want to say, like, in San Antonio, if I recall correctly, and it's been years since I lived in San Antonio, but if I remember correctly, there was, like, an old fire station downtown that was essentially abandoned. Like, I guess they got a bigger version at some point and decided to, like, make that the fire station. So you just have this building that was just kind of sitting there doing nothing for, like, a decade or whatever. And eventually, I think somebody bought it and turned it into, like, a museum or something like that.
What would you turn a fire station into if you had one?
If I wasn't going to turn it into, like, a living space?
Yeah.
Because that would be kind of cool, too, to turn it into, like, a living space. Because you already have a lot of that cool stuff in it now. You have the little poles to get up and down. And you got a lot of water connections and all that stuff. But if I weren't going to make it a living place, like, maybe if I made it a restaurant. I feel like that would lend itself, I feel like that would do a great job in Austin if you just had, like, a decommissioned fire station as a bar or a restaurant. So I'd probably do that.
Oh, that'd be a cool bar. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know what I would... You know what? I would turn mine into, like, a comic book store. I mean, it would make no money, but I think it'd be fun.
It would be. I don't remember what it is now, but it used to be called El Sapo. It was in Austin. It was on East Manor. And it was actually a really good burger place. But you could tell that it used to be like a service station, gas station kind of thing. Because you could see, like, you know, you could see where the old, you know, the doors were where you would pull in your car. And then you could see the little pits where the people would work and all that fun stuff. So, like, you could tell that it was obviously an old service station that they just redid into a restaurant. Oh, you gotta like it when people get creative like that.
Oh, that reminds me. I just saw the menu. All this restaurant talk. Have you seen the menu?
Oh, no. I've been told it's really good. I need to get onto it. I know. But I have not seen it yet.
Okay, I will not spoil it for you. I loved it. I've already seen it twice. But my next cosplay idea is in that movie. Like, I want to dress up as one of the characters from that movie. But I don't think anyone will get it.
I'm going to watch the movie, and then I'm going to try to, when I'm done watching it, I'm going to, like, guess and say, okay, is this what you want the costume to be?
Okay, I feel like once you see it, you'll know, and you'll be like, ah, that's it. And you also be like, yes, not a lot of people are going to get what he's doing.
But it feels so great when they do.
This is true. When you wear, like, a really, I don't know, what is it? There's a word for it. Niche? I don't know, super niche? Like, little part of a costume of, like, a side character. And when someone's like, oh, you're this character, you're like, oh, you're a true fan.
Mm-hmm. So you always feel like, oh, nobody's going to get it or whatever. Like, oh, I'm going deep. And sometimes, like, I guess you always assume that, like, there'll be, especially if you're at a large conference where there's thousands upon thousands of people, you're like, okay, statistically, there's at least one person nerdy enough to know exactly who I am. But it's always fun when it's a lot of people who know it.
Yeah, I'm really debating. There's a, in Texas, we have this horror convention. It's called Texas Frightmare Weekend. And I'm like, should I go there? I've always been debating going every year. If you want to come down to Texas, Jason, let me know. We can go to this. But Sam Raimi's going to be there. John Carpenter is going to be there. I'm a big horror movie fan, so like these names, and they're going to have a lot of casts of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, I'd be down. I'm guessing it's going to be close to Halloween.
No, it's in May.
Oh, well, I might still be down then. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you got an international trip this summer.
Yeah, got one coming up in April, and I just like one of those things where it's like, will I want to travel after this, or how soon will I be ready to take another big trip after this one?
This is true. But I don't know. Every year I want to go to this horror movie convention. This might be the year, just so I can wear this costume.
I say do it.
Okay, buying the tickets now.
Do it. Yeah, I always did. I've never been to a horror convention, but I have done some of those haunted houses. They're pretty cool. So, I mean, they're all right. I guess to me, it's not that scary because you realize, like, realistically, nothing bad's going to happen to you. So, but they can still be entertaining.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever told you this story, but I was doing a haunted house with some friends. I get super scared. No matter what, I get super scared of them. So I was with a group of friends, and something happened, and I got so scared that I stopped walking for a little bit. And my friends kind of kept walking, so I lost the group. And I was confused on which way to go. And I went up some stairs. I ended up in the, like, backstage area, like, where all the cast members, I guess, are. And they had to, like, exit me out of the haunted house through the back.
That's funny.
Yeah, because I was confused. I was like, where do I go? And then I walked up some stairs, and then suddenly, like, it wasn't spooky anymore. It was just, like, technical stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the, and I know, segue time. It reminds me a little bit about King of the Hill episode where they, what's her face? Junie Harper and the haunted house and all that stuff. And Hank was really into it. And, you know, because it's Hank, Hank really loves that kind of stuff. But yeah, and then now we have another religious episode that we're talking about today. And this one, like, I grew up, and I'd be interested in hearing your take on this too, because I kind of grew up in this era when they try to do Christian rap or whatever, and or make kind of reach out to the children, like, you know, whenever I guess some old company or whatnot, it's like, we have a new generation out there, we need to appeal to those kids and what they're popular for, or what they're big on. Yeah, it just comes off as cringy. I don't know if you've ever been to the Fellow Kids subreddit, but it's pretty much that, where they will post things that schools or businesses will post where they're trying to sound like they're hip using the kids' lingo of today, and it just comes off as very cringy. And this really makes fun of it, this episode.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely my... Like, I grew up, like you were saying, I grew up in this time of... Like, this... I don't know. Trying to make religion really hip to 90s kids.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
This hit home, this episode.
Yep, so we're going to cover Reborn to be Wild, Season 8, Episode 2. This one is a really good one. We're starting to get into the later seasons, and, you know, I always say around 11, 12, 13, those seasons aren't my favorites. But this one's a really good episode, really quotable, and quite frankly, for me, being at that age, like, this episode came out in 2003. I was in high school in 2003 and in church groups. This really resonates well with me, this episode. The episode starts off in the alley, and it's just like any other alley day. The guys are just standing around and saying stuff, and then Dale's like, Nancy refused to make me an Eggs Benedict, and he's like, I love my wife, and she doesn't do anything, but a guy who kills his wife can get whatever he wants, and Bill's kind of excited to hear about that. It's like, really? It's like, yeah, you know, the concept of a last meal, the prison has to give you whatever it is you want for a last meal, and Bill kind of likes this idea, like, oh, I can eat whatever I want. All of a sudden, you hear, like, this heavy metal music coming out of the Hill House, and everybody's upset. Boomhauer's pointing out that there's noise pollution, and Then Hank goes to see what's going on, and Dale's like, I let Joseph listen to whatever he wants. Of course, I'm afraid of Joseph. Walking to Bobby's room, and he's listening to, I guess, like, the best I could equate it to is maybe, like, Korn or something, kind of that new metal type. He is wearing dreads, a dreadlock wig, and rocking out, and Hank is not happy at all. He's like, what is this garbage, and why are you wearing this? And he's like, I want to be like Johnny Glock. And he's like, it is the guy who got arrested for setting a car on fire. He had to, Dad. He was dissed. Peggy walks in, and she's like, I made the fake goatee for you, but I couldn't find any black nail polish, so you're just going to have to deal with a Sharpie. And Hank's like, no way. I am not. The only way you're going to have a black fingernail is if you hit it with a hammer. And Peggy's kind of going along with it all, because she's just like, oh, you know, whatever. Kids are going to be kids. He needs to explore himself. She's like, oh, come on, Hank. Gangsters and hoes are his generation's cowboys and Indians. Naturally, Hank is not happy. And so they go to church. So to iron things out. So I don't think I was ever into Korn. I think we've talked about it in previous episodes. I was big into Linkin Park. And I was big. I don't even know if it's still a thing anymore. I should look it up. But like when Warped Tour was really popular, I was big into going to Warped Tour. And almost every Sunday, maybe every other Sunday after church, I'd go to the mall and go to Hot Topic and like eyeball which band shirts I want. So I had like Taking Back Sunday, Yellow Card. So I'm with Bobby on this. And of course, my mom absolutely hated it all.
Okay, so I'm going to say bands, but I don't know if they're going to be like... Korn was too much for me. Like, it was just too intense. Linkin Park I liked a lot. I felt like Linkin Park was at, like, middle line. Like, you could dip your toes into it. If you liked pop music, this was kind of like the gateway thing. So I liked Linkin Park a lot. I don't know. Alien Ant Farm. Do you remember Alien Ant Farm?
I do. They only ever had one hit, and it was a cover.
Yeah. Alien Ant Farm. I like that one song. All American Rejects was good. Would these be considered in the Korn? Like, I mean, these are lighter things, right?
Oh no, those were like at best alternative, or yeah, like I would put All American Rejects at best like pop punk. And at worst, just like, you know, top 40 pop alternative rock.
Oh, you know who I was like okay with? I don't know. What about Limp Bizkit? Where do you put that?
Limp Bizkit I did listen to. I think there was this point in time, and if there's anybody who's young who's listening to this, there was this point in time in the late 90s, early 2000s, where I guess this Fred Durst was really popular, and he kind of rode on the tail end of the nu metal phase, and he created a band called Limp Bizkit, and it was just like, the best way I know to describe it, it was gangster rap for white kids who grew up in the suburbs, because it was like, he was always trying to be hardcore and everything, but it was also just so poppy and top 40s type of music too. So it also came across as very disingenuous.
Yeah, I would say. What is he up to now?
I think he actually makes movies or something like that, or he's a producer or something weird like that.
Gosh. Oh, I like that one System of a Down song. I don't know what it's called, but it's that one everyone likes.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Gosh, I'll just draw it a blank. But yeah, I know, you know, wake up.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah, I liked System 2.
I was not in that world, you know, as much. I was over here, let's say, Yellow Card.
I did like Screamo, and that is always going to be kind of a funny thing for me that I was into that, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm an adult now. I think that's just part of being a human being, is that you get to a point where you're just like, oh, I can't believe I was ever into that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there...
Oh, no. Go ahead. I was going to say, but isn't it weird, like, sometimes... when you're into that weird, like that weird niche stuff, like again with the Kasu, and then you meet someone else who isn't, you realize a lot of people our age were like in that weird pocket. Everyone just fell in that weird pocket. When you talk about like, oh,
yep,
the weird things I was in.
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny because nowadays, for example, and then we'll get back to the episode, you know, people our age will all talk about how terrible Nickelback and Creed are.
Nickelback.
People will always say how terrible those bands are and, oh, they're the worst thing ever. And Nickelback is playing in Hell's waiting room and everything like that. But a funny fact, and this is an absolute fact, you can fact check it. Two of the top selling bands of the 2000s, I don't know the exact number, but I believe Creed was the number 9 top selling band and Nickelback was number 11. So clearly somebody was listening to them. And I think a lot of us who say that they were terrible bands were probably some of the people that were listening to them back then.
I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without like, look at that photograph. You know, you could not escape Nickelback. Creed, you couldn't kind of. Well, no, you couldn't escape Creed either. You would always hear, like, with arms wide open. And that's, like, all I know. But I know back then I was listening to Nickelback was on my playlist back then.
So at the church, Hank sets up a meeting with the pastor to try to set Bobby straight because I guess Hank's like, oh, you know, Bobby's acting like a hoodlum and he's going down the wrong path and everything like that. And, you know, the pastor kind of gets it. Bobby wants to be cool. He's a 13-year-old. You know, teenagers have to go through this phase where they kind of break away from what their parents like and try to find their own thing and stuff. And he's like, oh, I think I've got a cool video just for you. And she reaches into her desk and Bobby is like, if it's about Esau, the 8 eggplants and the prodigal cucumber, I've already seen it. So you see her hand just like pause and she closes the drawer. It's like, I get it. You're a teenager and you want to be with it. You want something that gets it and what kids are into these days. I know of a good after school youth group that will be great for you, Bobby. And Bobby hates the idea because it doesn't sound cool, but Hank's like, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what Bobby needs. And Bobby's like, but what if I want to join a sports team? And Hank's like, nice try. So presumably the next day, maybe a day or two later or whatever, they're driving to the community center and Bobby's in a full suit and tie because that's actually the kind of church they go to where you go dressed suit and tie and you wear your Sunday's best and everything. Bobby's like, yeah, this is just not cool. Going to a church group. And Hank's like, you know, it's not cool, Bobby. Hell. And so Hank drops Bobby off, peels out, leaves. And Bobby gets ready to go into the community center. And he kind of gets the corner of his eye. He sees a bunch of kids skateboarding. And he's like, oh, you know, he's thinking to himself, oh, man, that'd be cool. And one of the kids approaches him from behind. And at first it looks kind of tense because the kids are like, what are you doing here? Why are you wearing the suit? Are you a lawyer? Are you scared? Are you lost? All that stuff. And Bobby's like, yes, I'm scared. He's like, well, you found the right place. And it turns out that this is the youth group. And it is like a skateboarders youth group. So they're having Bible study while they're in the half pipes and the pool and everything like that. And Pastor K comes out and he's like the stereotypical cool youth pastor. You know, he has dreadlocks. He's skateboarding. He's got tattooed sleeves. He's wearing a tank top so that he can reveal his sleeves. Like I remember this youth pastor when I was young like this. Like they always had to go by a cool name. Like their real name would be like Steve or whatever. But then instead, like to be cool with the kids, they're Steve-O or something like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's definitely like those hip pastors on there. They're like, did you see the Matrix? This is how the Matrix is like Jesus. Or like, this is how this is, but related to Jesus. And I was, you know, you gotta praise them. Like, they're trying their hardest.
Oh yeah.
Maybe too hard though.
Yeah, because they're always like, you know, kids aren't in the church anymore. So we need to like appeal to them. They're not gonna like their granddad's church. They need something cool and hip. So let's start playing Christian punk rock and let's have rock climbing wall at the church and all this stuff. And then they'll always find like the young pastor, like he's probably in his early 30s, late 20s, something like that. And they're like, okay, yeah, like he's old enough to be mature, but young enough to like be close enough to these kids in age. And, you know, he's like, whoa, this pastor doesn't look anything like the pastor at the main church. He's not wearing a suit. He's got a Jesus Rules, but with like a Z t-shirt on. And look at, he's got tattoos and his hair is all spiked and, you know, just all the cool things. And look at that mad goatee he's got. So it's like the teenager are like, wow, you could be cool and a Christian.
It makes me think of, do you remember those, I don't know that it's still popular or not. I mean, it's a saying, but do you remember those What Would Jesus Do bracelets? And like, we're always wearing, like, and it was like, oh man, that's so hip. You're wearing the What Would Jesus Do bracelet. It's like, I don't know. Looking back, it's very cringy to kind of be like, oh, that's how we were like. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
I think I had, like, you'll see it later in the episode that Bobby has an extreme Bible, and clearly that's a parody, because I think I had an approximation of that. There was like a, there was like Bible for teen boys or something like that, but then it was like written in, like, it was written in graffiti instead of like the gold leaf that you would see on your parents' Bible or whatever and stuff. So you're like, oh yeah, this Bible's cool. It would still be the Bible, maybe in a more, you know, English New American Version translation or something. But then there'll be like random illustrations of there of like Moses on a half pipe or something like that.
Oh my gosh. So I remember I had the like regular Bible growing up. Nothing special. I was always losing my Bible though. I would leave them. Sorry, everyone. I would leave my Bible everywhere. Like, I just set it down and walk away and just forget about it. But I knew this one kid at church. He had this Bible. It was called The Message. I don't know if you've heard of this Bible. But it's written in contemporary language. Like, how we talk with all our mannerisms. And there's no verses, really. It's just kind of like one blob of a thing.
Huh. I mean, I'm not religious that much anymore, and I don't really remember or any of that. So I mean, I'm sure they probably still exist, but I really remember this being a thing in like the early 2000s. So watching this is both like going down memory lane, but also like cringe worthy because I'm like, oh, I used to be in this group.
Do you think it's still happening? Like, now that we're just adults and we're like out of that circle. You know, like, I mean, yeah, I would say I'm religious, but not religious. I don't know. I don't actively go all the time to church. Sorry, everyone. But do you think that's still the culture? It's just like, we're so out of it. It's like sub niche. Like, if we were there, we would like still be experiencing that.
Like, you know, there probably is. I'm sure there is. It's just that what was popular for kids now is not what was popular 20 years ago. So, you know, it might be a lot of EDM themed stuff is what I would guess.
Oh my gosh. Is there a marshmallow equivalent in the Christian community? Like unleavened bread? And I don't
know. No, but you should make that.
See, I can't, because then I'd be like, I'm a for-profit person. I got to watch out my margins, guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure one exists out there. So we go back to the alley, and the guys are talking about the last meal, and Dale's kind of going through a list of, and this guy got to have this, and this guy got to have 6 chicken wings, and, you know, things like that. And the guys are just like, man, it's not fair. They get to get all the stuff that they have. And Hank comes out, and he's like, are you guys watching the Weather Channel? There's some great stuff happening in Missouri, which is absolutely something Hank would say. Bobby comes back and he's, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I decided to walk back from the community center because it's such a glorious day. And I asked my friends to come over from the church. Is that okay? And Hank's like, yeah, sure. I'll even set up the tetherball. And Bobby's like, thanks for making me go to church, Dad. And Hank's like, my son thanked me for taking him to church. in the evening, we're in the Hills dining room, and Peggy's folding laundry. Hank picks up one of the shirts and sniffs it and kind of grimaces. And Peggy's like, yes, I switched detergents. I don't want to hear about it. All of a sudden, they hear clashes in the alley, like, you know, garbage cans. And Hank assumes it's a possum, and they goes out and he sees, like, the kids are skateboarding off the garbage can. You know, they have a garbage can lying down, and they put the board on and ramp off of it. And he's like, Hank's like, that's not the intended use for that machine. Bobby comes up, and Hank's like, don't get too close. And he's like, oh, no, Dad, that's my, these are the kids from school. It's like, Hank's confused because he thinks that they are hoodlums, but they're a church group. And then one of the kids comes by. It's like, oh, I'm going to do an ollie or whatever, but can you hold my Bible? And then when he hands the Bible to Hank, he's like, you know, you don't just need to hold it. You can read it. And then he rides off. He jumps off of the ramp, and everybody yells, praise him after that. In the kitchen, Hank's like, can you believe that kid sassed me? I was reading the Bible before he was born. And, you know, Peggy's like, you know, I'd rather Bobby be in a Christian gang than a murdering gang. And Hank's like, I guess so. Wait, look at that kid. I think he's smoking. No, he's praying. they have dinner. And Luann comes by. It's like, thanks for inviting me to dinner. Mine was a disaster. Who knew that hot dogs could go bad? And then she asks if Bobby could say grace, but then Bobby does it, but like not in the traditional way we think of somebody saying grace, like, you know, thank you, God, for this food, and, you know, things like that. Instead, he's like, check it, Jesus. I want to thank you for this bountiful meal that you delivered. You know, he just being hot, and he's trying to do it in a very hip way. And Hank and Peggy are confused because they're like, it's weird, but at the same time, he's praying. So they just kind of move along. At the skate park, or I guess youth center, whatever you want to call it at this point, one of the kids gets a sticker on a skateboard that says praying is not a crime. And they're like, oh, that's cool. It's like what Pastor K has. He has the resurrection airbrushed on his Jeep. And then Pastor K comes up. He's like, okay, kids, it's time to feel the world. And they essentially read a verse. And I think they take it completely out of context, but I guess it just depends on how you interpret it. Because he's like, yeah, I was thinking about this verse when I was rock climbing this week. In order to be tight with the Lord, you have to take your faith to the limit. And he's like, you know, an amp is worthless without juice. You got to plug into the Holy Spirit. And Bobby's like, how do I know what's good? It's like, whatever sticks to your spirit is good. Now, let's all pray for, I forget what the kid's name is. Like, let's all pray for Jimmy and his wicked nose ring infection. It is funny. Again, just, I grew up in this. And also, you and I are the generation of, like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And for those of you who don't remember, and those who do remember, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, for whatever reason, skateboarding and extreme sports was really popular. It's not like they were just invented then, but they just had this weird resurgence at that point in time. So there were a lot of video games that were released that were all about skateboarding and rollerblading. There was even like there was these Razor scooters when they first came out in like 2000. There was a Razor scooter video game where you could do all these tricks and junk. And there's also a lot of TV shows going around. Like, Nickelodeon had a show called Rocket Power, which was all about, you know, these four kids, and they live in California, and all they do is surf, skateboard, play street hockey. So I think this was also kind of tapping into that, too. I know I used to try to skateboard at what was called the Tank Skate Shop, or not Skate Shop, the Tank Skate Rink in San Antonio when I was in middle school. So
I wasn't much of a skateboarder. I did it a couple times. Wasn't my thing. I was definitely the roller skating kid. You know, like roller skating down the street. I was always at the like roller skating rink. Or I guess it was just a skating rink and I roller skated there. But that was my jam.
Yeah, it was also the same time that like ska was having a resurgence. And so, you know, Pretending I'm Superman, that song by Goldfinger, still etched in my memory. in the alley, Bobby's trying to skateboard and he just isn't getting it. And Dale points out that it was lame. And Hank's confused because he's like, on one hand, Bobby broke curfew last night, but he was also reading the Bible. What am I supposed to do? And Dale's like, you should punish him Old Testament style. A religious person like Bobby would appreciate that. Bobby walks up and he has a shirt that says Satan sucks. And Hank's like, you can't have a shirt with that word on it. And Bill's like, disgusting. Wait, which word's the bad one? And he's like, sucks. He's like, but Satan does suck. He's like, yes, I know. It's like, yeah, Hank, what does your shirt say? Satan rules. And Hank just gets mad and walks away. And Bobby goes away. And Dale's like, I decided we're going to start a last meal club where we're going to, you know, criminals aren't the only ones who should be able to have all these great food. We'll have our own last meal club and we'll do it at Boomhauer's. It'll be just like the Breakfast Club. Let's see, in the kitchen, Bobby is trying to teach Luann about the Bible, and he's talking about Cain and Abel, but in a skater-themed way, which is funny. It's like, oh, I didn't know that was in Genesis, and, oh, well, Pastor K is working on a 22-minute song about the disciples, and I'm gonna be with him when he performs it at Messiah Fest.
This is where we find out Bobby has an extreme Bible, right? Because he's like, this
is I think Bible. So, yeah.
Poor Luann. I don't know why I always feel bad for Luann. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, Luann, what are we going to do with you?
Yep. Bobby's back at, I guess, the church / skate park / community center. And Kay is, you know, playing his guitar, just kind of strumming at a beat. And Bobby's just kind of being like, yeah, feel the word, praise him and stuff. And Pastor K is impressed. It's like, hey, do you want to share the stage with me at Messiah Fest? And Bobby's really happy. He's like, ah, absolutely, of course. We jump to the kitchen the next day, and Bobby's showing Hank a picture of Jesus holding a skateboard. And Hank's like, oh, that's interesting. And Bobby's like, oh, this is going to be my tattoo. And Hank's like, no way. My son is not getting a tattoo. And he's like, but Dad, this is how we pay the Lord mad respect these days. And Hank's like, the Lord's been getting mad respect for millions of years. He doesn't need you to ruin your body. And then Bobby's like, oh, this is just like Job. You're testing me, God. And Bobby walks away.
That was a pretty big Jesus with a skateboard, though. I mean, it's going to be a big, what is that, like a back piece?
I don't have a tattoo, not because I'm against them, but largely because I have no idea what I'd want to get. But I'd imagine you could scale it down, like if you're talented enough tattoo artist.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Jesus. You gotta go big or go home. I don't know.
True.
Go heaven. I just love that. It's like, what is this? What is this I'm looking at? It clearly looks like Jesus. I think the skateboard was throwing him off.
Probably. At the Pink and White, the guys who aren't Hank are walking around and they're getting food and they're just stuffing their cart full of food. And Bill's like, you know that one comedian who talks about how you always get the cart with the wobbly wheel? Oh, I love that comedian. They see Con and Con's like just eating all the free samples. He's like eating one and he says, huh, I'm still not sure if I want this. I better try another. And then he sees the guys and he's like, oh, are your food stamps about to expire? Is that why you're all eating this? And they're talking about, oh no, we want to have our own last meals. And they explain like how they believe that criminals aren't the only ones who should get the best food. The Con kind of jumps on board with the idea because he's like, well, we should get shrimp. And so they go and grab shrimp and continue onward at the skate park. We see the Pastor K with the with one of the kids, and it's like, why didn't Jesus catch me when I fell? And he's like, because Jesus has other plans for you, just not to do a 360. Hank approaches Pastor K, and he's like, I want to talk to you about the garbage you're teaching my boy. And he wants to teach him about God without the tattoos. And he's like, hey, Jesus could be anywhere. Jesus is in the half pipe. And Hank's like, I'm sure he's a lot of places he doesn't want to be in. Pastor K's like, well, what's more important, that Bobby has a proper haircut or that he's a Christian? And Hank's like, I'm not giving up on either of them.
Oh, I never know what Hank is like. Hank does this a lot where he goes to confront someone, like, stop doing what you're doing. And I never know what Hank is thinking. Like, this person's going to be like, oh, I was doing the wrong thing. But I love what Hank's like. Jesus is in a lot of places he doesn't want to be. Or God, or what was the quote?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus on the half pipe. Yay.
Jesus is here in the half pipes. Like, I'm sure he's a lot of places he doesn't want to be.
Oh, man. That's classic Hank.
Yep. In Bobby's room, he and his mom are playing like this the religious video game. And it's an N64 control, which I find funny that they have that he's still using an N64 in 2003, but that's beside the point. And they're playing like, I guess, this two-player game, but they're running down they're essentially Moses and the Israelites, and they're running away from the Pharaoh and stuff. And then all of a sudden Hank comes in. He's like, okay, you're enough with this, Pastor K. You're coming to church with us from now on. And he takes off the little stocking cap that Bobby's wearing. He's like, you look like a burglar. And when he looks at it, he realizes that Bobby has an earring. It's a cross earring, but nonetheless, it's an earring. And he's like, what is that? He's like, it's my testimonial. And Peggy's upset because she's like, I was all right with you baptizing Lady Bird, but not you ruining your perfect ears. And then as they leave, Bobby yells, you don't understand how I feel about Jesus. Bobby takes his extreme Bible and sneaks out.
I love how Peggy also won the game. Like, even when Hank's yelling at her, Peggy's still playing. She's like, look at Moses dance.
Yeah. I think she's just like, I think she tries to be the fun mom and tries to, like, be the foil to Hank. Not necessarily, I guess, in a bad way, but it's like in the way that, oh, Hank, you're too hard on him. Let him have his fun, because she knows Hank is a very strict, kind of straight man kind of person, and anything that is outside of the norm to him is problematic.
Do you think Hank would allow the baptism of Lady Bird?
Probably.
It feels like it rides this, like, line of, like, he's like, well, I do want Lady Bird baptized, but this seems like it's going a little too far.
Yeah. I like how in the next scene, we're in the alley, and I guess Bobby just stuck a bumper sticker at some point onto Hank's car, but it's a Christian bumper sticker, and Hank's scraping it off, and he's like, when I was young, you went to rock and roll concerts on Saturday, then went to church on Sunday to ask for forgiveness. And the guys are like, I don't know, there's just something about scraping off that bumper sticker that seems sacrilegious. And Hank's like, that's just not how I want things done here. Now I got to go to Bobby's room. How many footprints posters does a kid need? He goes to Bobby's room. He notices that his Bible is gone and realizes, oh, he must be at Messiah Fest.
I love that footprints poster. I don't know. Growing up, I was like, that was the quote, you know. You're walking down a beach, and then it's like, I love that footprints poster where it's like, what is it? There was like two sets of footprints, and then there was only like once. Like, you're walking on a beach, and there's two sets, and then it becomes one, and that's where Jesus was carrying you, or something like that. Or like, there's two sets, and that was Jesus by your side. Like, those posters as a kid was like, this is motivating me.
I'm pretty confident we had a footprints poster in my house when I was growing up. I'm going to jump around a little bit here just to not ruin the flow. So first we see the massive last meal that Boomhauer, Bill, Dale, and Con have put together. And, you know, they say, let's feast. The next flavor in your mouth is the sour taste of death. And all of a sudden, everybody becomes superstitious because it's the last meal. So they think, okay, well, if I eat this, then this means I'm going to die. I'm going to die in like a day or whatever. So everybody's like trying to get everybody else to eat first. And, you know, Dale's like, oh, Bill, let me serve you the first plate. And Khan's like, oh, I had a big lunch and I don't want to tempt fate. And everybody leaves and Bill's alone. And Bill's like, don't leave me. I eat when I'm scared. And he starts eating all the food.
Have you thought about what your last meal would be?
I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be in that situation. I don't think about it.
I mean, it would be a downer. It's a downer thought, but mine would have to be something with chicken fried steak. I love chicken fried steak.
That wouldn't be a bad one.
And country gravy with cornbread. You know what? Now that I'm saying it out loud, I probably have it in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad meal.
Oh, well, okay. Now that I'm thinking about it, that feels like any other meal. Like, I can have that any weekend. I feel like, you know what? I'm going to think about it. Give me a couple weeks, and in our opening, or in our cold open, I will tell you my last meal.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's see here. Now we're back in the Saya Fest. So it's funny because, like, there's a booth. It's like any other festival. There's a booth where there's pretzels, but then there's a booth right next to it where they're selling Bibles, and there's, like, all, like, the gangster shirts, but they say God rules. And it's funny because Luann's helping Bobby prepare and is actually painting Bobby's nails black. And Luann says, okay, I got to leave because one of the bands says I'm giving them impure thoughts. And then we see an older guy walk around, and it turns out it is Pastor K's dad, and he's a roadie for one of the Amen. And we see Hank show up, and then there's a Christian ska band playing, and Hank's like, ugh. And so he runs trying to find Bobby. All of a sudden, Bobby's on the stage, and it's like, when I say holy, you say ghost. When I say holy. And after they're done with that set, Bobby is taken away by Hank. Pastor K's shows up. It's like, oh, you have another set. Pastor K's like, where are you going? We have another set. And Bobby's like, you're embarrassing me. Pastor K's like, this is how he testified. He does like a lick on his guitar and whatever. And Hank's like, and one of my favorite quotes, can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse. And then Pastor K is like, even Jesus had long hair. And he's like, because I wasn't his dad. All of a sudden, Pastor K's dad overhears everything. He's like, hey, is there something going on here? And, you know, Hank's like, look, I just want my son in a regular church praising God just like us. And Pastor K's upset. And all of a sudden, the dad's like, Kevin, what are you doing? You got to remember number 5. And then he takes off the back of his shirt and reveals that he has like the 10 commandments tattooed on his back. And he points to the number 5, honor thy father and mother. He's like, you know, if he doesn't want to praise God this way, that's cool. Don't come between a father and his son. And now, you know, you need to finish your show before they start moshing out of anger instead of jubilation. And Hank's a little taken back that they took his side. So we go to the Hill House, and Bobby's upset. He's like, when I turn 18, I'm going to do whatever I want for the Lord. And Hank's like, I'll take that chance. He goes in the garage and shows Bobby this box that he's been keeping. And it has all these weird things like Beanie Babies and virtual pets and stuff and an old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costume. And, you know, he's like, oh, I can't believe I was ever into that stuff, or, oh, I was so nerdy. And then Hank shows an old picture where he has a members only jacket. And Hank pretty much explains, like, you know, I don't want the Lord to wind up in this box for you one day. And then that's when Bobby kind of has an aha moment and puts like his cool hip hat and shirt and stuff in the box and moves on. It's like, oh, you're, and then they continue going through the box. Like, oh, Mom had blonde hair? Well, Farrah Fawcett was very popular back in the day. And the episode ends.
I was going to just say, what an interesting box that, like, it has Bobby's old stuff, but also a mixture of, like, Hank and Peggy's old things?
Maybe. I don't know. It makes sense for the episode.
I mean, yes, it is. And I love the way that, like, you know, religion's important to Hank and Peggy. And how he's, like, I want this to be taken more seriously than just a hobby of yours. Or I want it to be the fact.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
I mean, I kind of get it with Hank. Because I'm looking back and I'm thinking, I'm like, I wonder how sustainable it was. Like, how many of those kids who went to the cool church remained Christian or remained in the faith or whatever? I'm going to guess it's going to be a very small percentage of them. So, you know, it's like when you turn Christian, not even Christianity, when you turn anything into a fad, it does not age well as the people age and they move on from it. So if you're if you're making church cool, and what, like, Bobby's not attracted to church, otherwise he would just go to his normal church. He's just attracted to this cool environment where he gets to act like the Johnny Glock and whatnot, but it's all right because it's Christian and stuff. And so I think that's what Hank's problem was not, I mean, I'm sure there were little other problems too, that Hank, you know, Bobby was also doing things that Hank had disagreed with, like tattoos and everything. But ultimately, I think his problem was that didn't want Bobby to, like, he knew that this was going to be a passing fad, and he didn't want Bobby to just forget about the Bible.
Yeah, I really like that about Hank at the end of it, that, you know, he kind of realized where it was going, and I don't know, overall, I love this episode because it feels like it's so close to home.
Yes, absolutely, like that. That's why I love it too, because I was, you know, in San Antonio going to church, I was in that crowd. Like this, like I said, this episode was made in 2003, or at least it aired in 2003. So it's like I was a teenager in high school at that time, in the middle of high school or whatever. You know, I think it was in 2003. In 2004, I saw Linkin Park in concert. I saw Newfound Glory in concert. I saw a bunch of different bands in concert. I was into that pop punk scene. And I had a friend who had a screamo band back in the day. And actually, it's funny because one of my friend's bands actually, like, took off eventually. I haven't talked to him in years, especially since I've left Texas, but a friend from high school, a band called Nothing More, they started it while we were all still in high school. I remember still seeing them when they were, like, in abandoned warehouses playing concerts, and now they had, like, their song was on the soundtrack for I forget which one, but one of the Planet of the Apes movie, maybe it was War of the Planet of the Apes or something, yeah.
That's cool.
But, you know, that was kind of that. Yeah, that was kind of what I was growing up in. It's that screamo thing. So, and then the church, when the church was trying to be hip and everything, and not your dad's church and stuff. So, yeah, this really, really hits home. I kind of cringe looking back on it because I'm like, oh man, that was so cringy, all that stuff we did. But at the same time, I think you kind of have to look at it from a balanced point of view. Like, yes, you could acknowledge that it was cringy, but then you could also acknowledge, like, you know what? At that point in time, I was young and I was having fun and I was enjoying myself, and now we've kind of moved on.
Yeah, I do feel like when you're younger and middle school, high school, you kind of try everything. You know, you bounce around, you do different hobbies, you fall into different trends, and it's just kind of like trying to figure out what sticks. You know, what you're going to really like and what's going to be a part of your life and what's, like, just something you're testing out. You dip your toes in a lot of water.
Yeah, again, this is one, and also that line about you're not making Christianity better, you're just making rock and roll worse. Like, looking back, there were a few I think that had staying power, but if I start looking back at, like, the Christian rock bands that I used to listen to when we were in church, like, some of them were good, I guess, were all right, but, like, they always, I don't know if you're a big South Park watcher, but there was a South Park episode years ago where they were wanting to create a band and go, like, triple platinum or whatever, but they weren't getting anywhere. And then Cartman comes up with the idea that, well, let's create a Christian band because all you have to do is be a Christian band, then every doesn't matter what the quality of the music is, people are going to line up and buy it. And so they just take all these old, like, love songs from the 70s and 60s, but then replace, like, Baby and Lover with Christ and Redeemer and whatnot. So, and then they wind up going, but apparently in the Christian, which isn't true, Christian music can go platinum, but in the South Park universe, they can't. Instead, they go double myrrh.
Oh my gosh. I remember that. That's an older episode.
Oh yeah, that's like a 20 some odd year episode.
Gosh, I remember that. Man, I remember going to Christian concerts with my youth group. I don't know if you know any Christian bands, but did you ever hear an artist named Toby Mac?
I do. I remember that well. Yeah. If I recall, he used to be part of another.
Yeah. So I was really into him, like, as a tween or early teenager. So I don't know. I feel like some of the stuff still holds up. Like, good beat's a good beat. That's all I'm going to say. You got a good beat. You got a good beat.
Oh, yeah. Some of the beats were good, but then some of them were just like, I think they were banking on the idea that, oh, it's not the quality of the music. It's the content that people are going to go. It's our message about Jesus that's going to make people like us, not necessarily that the music is good. But yeah, that's all I have on this episode. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I think we've discussed it. Definitely, like I say all the time, this is worth a rewatch. It's just so funny, and it's so funny to see, like, Peggy's weird, like, coming ins and outs, which, like, they didn't have any black nail polish. Like, those lines are hilarious of how she's kind of just supportive of the fad.
I do like that Peggy was supportive, and I think she does that. I mean, we see that a lot in the seasons, and I think it's just because she's like, oh, Bobby's just a growing boy, and he needs to kind of venture and discover himself, and Hank, you're kind of stifling him. So next week we are going to be covering, actually this is one of Jimmy's favorites, The Sun Also Roses. So that's going to be a season 7 episode, so stepping back a little bit. Until then, I'm Jason
and I'm Jimmy.
Bye
bye.